We're talking with Matthew Teague Miller via phone, and of course on KRS you're used to hearing Matthew during the summertime on the Clinton Area Showboat Theater Show, but Matthew actually lives and works in Chico, California, and you may have heard that name in relation to some of the wildfires in California. Appreciate some time, Matthew. Give us, before we get started, give us a geography lesson. Chico's name is, the town has been mentioned often in connection, especially with the Paradise community that basically got burned out, is kind of a place where people congregated and went to. Give us a geography lesson first. Get out your map and tell us how everything relates for us who are not familiar with the California landscape.
Sure. So I teach at the University, California State University, Chico. Chico State is, Chico is the town directly next to Paradise. So Paradise is, well, basically at the bottom of the hill that Paradise sits upon. It's probably on a normal day, it would take about 20, 25 minutes to get from Chico State to Paradise. And a number of my colleagues and a number of my students actually would have normally made that commute on a really regular basis prior to the campfire this last month.
And now that things are they any calmer now? The fire is kind of out, that's passed. What's the situation today? The fire is kind of not in the news, but the situation is, what's the situation today?
Yeah, so the Chico State and the Chico Unified School District both had canceled classes. Chico State canceled classes for 2 full weeks. The Unified School District actually canceled classes for 3 full weeks. The school district just went back to school yesterday. Chico State, we went back to school a week ago yesterday. So basically right the Monday after Thanksgiving. And the fires are out now. The fire is out now. And it's actually, we've gotten pretty good rain the last week or so, which is even taken the ash out of the air. It's hard to say. I mean, the recovery for Paradise, I don't know how Paradise will ever be the same. I mean, the whole city needs to be rebuilt. I just actually was on my way back. I ran up to Lowe's to grab an extension cord for my Christmas lights in my front yard. And in the parking lot of Lowe's, Allstate still has a van out there meeting with people who lost homes. In the same parking lot, they have a whole section roped off where RVs and tents are set up for people who lost their homes that don't have another place to live. I think getting back to school for us this last week was really good for the students and good for the morale of the city, because it was really very, very gloomy and dark in this town, physically and literally, for the whole 2 weeks leading up to that, you know. And so I will say that the day before yesterday, I was at the grocery store, and a woman ahead of me at the grocery store was telling the cashier she was buying all of her groceries, bought $150 worth of groceries, and she was paying with gift cards. And it sparked a conversation with the guy behind the cash register, and she was somebody who had lost her home in Paradise, and the gift cards had been donated to her by community members and people around the country. I will say that the outpouring of support has been amazing to see, but it's... I mean, there's really no words to describe the devastation that the community has experienced.
Now, Matthew, Paradise, I guess first up, did Chico suffer any damage where you live and work?
No, in fact, this is something that I just don't think is getting enough coverage on the national news that is really kind of amazing. The night that the fire broke out on a Thursday. And I remember that because I know what classes I had gotten canceled in the second half of the day, and and you know, that whole part of my story, my personal story. It was a Thursday, and the fire was just like moving like nothing anyone had ever seen before. I mean, Paradise had experienced fires in the past, and they had evacuation plans, and they had even had done drills and things to sort of prepare for if and when the next big fire would come through. But this one moved so fast and was so furious that it kind of, there was no way that the preparation that people had done was enough. I was actually driving to school on that Thursday morning and could see the smoke in the distance, and it was just this wild plume of smoke. By the time I have a 5-minute drive to work, and by the time I had gotten to school, the smoke was so bad it had blacked out the sun. So the night, that Thursday night, we immediately left town, because with the baby, we thought, we were never officially evacuated, but we stayed with my mom in Sacramento for 2 weeks, because of the smoke, the air quality, and we didn't feel like we could be too cautious with an 8-month-old. But the night of the fire, so you're asking about Chico, the night of the fire, that Thursday night, the campfire had worked itself all the way down to the bottom of the hill. And like I said, Chico is the town that is at the bottom of the hill. And the firefighters, they basically built a barricade on the city line of Chico. I mean, the way that I understand it, they did a burn-in line, and they had basically built a wall with their trucks, and they were able. The fire was moving quickly. It was heading right to the city of Chico, and through their incredible heroic efforts, kept it from getting in, breaking the city barrier. And luckily, after they had been able to avert it that day, the wind shifted directions. I mean, I say luckily, and it's such a selfish thing for me to say, because then it worked its way to another community, but that's awful. But the city of Chico really was unscathed because of the heroic efforts of the fire department. So got all the way to the city line. Got 2 miles, less than 2 miles from my front door, the campfire did. And would have continued to move in this direction if it hadn't been for the heroic first responders that had saved our town.
Is that a strange thought for you to think about that?
Oh, it's strange. It's emotional. Like I said, the city of Chico border. I mean, it goes right up against Paradise, and you know, we had taken this last April, right before, or I guess it was March, right before the baby was born. There was a famous wooden covered bridge that used to connect. I mean, in the olden days, it was it connected Chico and Paradise. It's called Honey Run Bridge, and we had gone up there to take our maternity pictures. And our plan was, this is a beautiful covered old bridge, our plan was to, you know, after the baby was born, to go up there and, like, recreate the maternity pictures only with the baby as opposed to with pregnant mommy. And it was a landmark. It's literally, it's on my bank card. I have a local bank, and it's like the Honey Run Bridge is on my bank card. Honey Run Bridge isn't there anymore. That was a 15-minute drive. Only because it was back roads. So as the crow flies, it wasn't very far at all. It's not there anymore. It was an 85-year-old bridge that is gone. That was a real, because it was this sort of iconic thing that we had planned on taking like family portraits together for the next several years. It was when I saw the remains of that bridge, that was when it really hit me personally, just how close this got to my house. But, I mean, I feel funny talking about this, Dave, to be honest, because we got through it and are safe, and yeah, we had to live with my mom for a couple of weeks, and that was tough, but that was nothing compared to my students and some of my colleagues who lost their homes. I have a colleague in the music department that I work with on a daily basis who, she never even got an evacuation call, and she doesn't have a house anymore. She was just getting up for school that day, was loading up a car to make her daily commute, and saw the smoke and saw her neighbors panicking, went back into her house, got her husband, her dog, and got her next door neighbor who was 91 years old, and they just started driving, and the 25-minute drive to Chico took her 6 hours because of the fire that she was driving through and the traffic, the gridlock traffic. So, like, for me to talk about, oh, yeah, the air quality was bad, and I lived with my mom for a couple weeks, I mean, that's small potatoes compared to literally somebody that I work with on a daily, many people that I work with on a daily basis that literally don't have homes anymore. It's been crazy.
When you deal with that, what are people like that doing now? They have not until just recently been able to even get back into the town.
Yeah, yeah, and technically, I'm pretty sure you can't even go up to Paradise now, unless you are a resident. They're starting to let people go down and go up, I should say, and check things out. But there are checkpoints, and I think it's a lot of different people are dealing with differently. Like I said, I know I have one acquaintance who had bought an RV and is living in an RV in a parking lot. I've got my friend who I was just mentioning. She's staying with some friends for the time being. I've got another friend who didn't lose his house, but the fire got so close to his house that it scorched his front lawn. His front lawn is gone, and the trees in his front yard are gone, but his house is still there. He's staying with some friends until he can get back up there and really assess, like, the smoke damage and everything that he has to deal with. I think everybody's dealing with it a little differently. I mean, one of the crazy things that's happening in Chico now, because there are no homes left up in Paradise, is what homes are for rent or are for sale are... people are getting into bidding wars for these houses and paying way more than the offering, way more than the asking price, so that they can try to find a place to live. Some people are dealing with it like that. I think everybody is dealing with it a little differently. Lara Tankoff, our associate, our longtime, or I shouldn't say longtime, the associate artistic director for the last 3 years, her in-laws lived up in Paradise. We lived with them in Paradise for a little bit of time, but had moved back down to Chico within the last year or so. They're staying in the RV, in their RV, and they're parked at Lara's, apartment. That's pretty common. For a while, there had been a tent city that had popped up in the Walmart parking lot, and there were some health concerns and some regulation concerns that the city kind of shut that down, and people dispersed into some other places. But there's some people are living at the fairgrounds and in those kinds of conditions, and so it's everybody's handling it a little bit differently.
And Matthew, maybe wrap things up. Of course, this was in the national news. Now things have moved on, as typical. You see that the news is not there anymore. What's that like? You know, the news isn't there. Paradise and Chico and the California wildfires have kind of become, hate to say, old news, but they've moved on to from the national case anyway. I'm sure not locally, but it's out of people's minds. Would you like to keep it in people's minds for the help you need, you and your friends need?
Yeah, I mean that's a great question. And I mean I've lived in California most of my life, and the California wildfires of the last few years that have been so devastating. You know, the one in Napa and Santa Rosa last year, and even there's one in Southern California that broke out the same day. It didn't even really feel like a reality to me. Like, I didn't, fully understand it until the fire got 2 miles from my front door and I had friends and colleagues and students lose their home. Like, it's really kind of insane. And the way that the national news and the national many different major corporations and have made incredible donations and brought a lot of attention to the campfire in particular was amazing, because like I said, the woman in front of me at Safeway the other day, at the grocery store the other day, was buying everything from donated gift cards. I mean, the recovery process is going to take years, and no one's talking about the campfire anymore. Do I want it to continue to be in people's consciousness? Yeah, I mean, yeah, sure, but there's so much happening. It's like every time we turn around, there's another crisis. I don't know what's going on. Just last week, we finally got rain, and because of the charred earth, now Paradise and the areas around Paradise are dealing with these crazy mudslides, and the same people that had been evacuated 2 weeks ago because of a fire were being evacuated because of flash flood warnings. So it's like locusts next. I mean, I'm in the middle of it, and I'm laughing, and I'm making jokes because it's the only way I know how to cope. But it's a weird situation. The recovery is only just begun. Young, all the national news organizations have packed up and left town, and people still need support and help and a long-term solution to this wildfire situation, which doesn't seem to be going anywhere. I don't know the cause, and I don't know the answer, but I do know that there needs to be a conversation about how we keep this kind of devastating situation from happening to people again soon.
Matthew, as you wrap up, what do you hope, if you were talking to the folks here in Clinton, and you know many of them know you,
have been to
the showboat, they know you, what would you like to tell them?
Well, and that's exactly, the whole reason I agreed to do this little interview with you is because I had hoped that, I'd mentioned a second ago that even living in California, the wildfire situation in the past couple of years has felt like another universe to me, and I live in California. I mean, my hope is that that by hearing me talk about it a little bit, it brings it a little bit closer to home to some people, makes it feel a little bit more of a reality, as opposed to feeling like it's just strangers on the other side of the earth. It's actually real-life human beings who don't have, their baby pictures anymore and don't have a place to sleep and don't have, my colleague left with, a different colleague, left with a duffel bag and lost everything else that she owns. She literally doesn't own anything anymore except for that duffel bag and a couple of things that she's picked up in the last couple of weeks. So my hope would be that by having this little conversation with you, it helps bring things into perspective that these were real people and not even another country, just people just like our Clinton folk, except Californians that lost everything, and it was devastating. I mean, the town is gone. The town that's, short drive from my front door. I don't know. I hope. Hopefully that helped. Hopefully that did bring things. Hearing me talk about it brought things into some perspective for people.
Well, really thank Matthew Teague Miller for visiting with us from Chico, California, about the wildfires. Thanks, Matthew.